Good morning, folks. This is Jay Miller, your host at Radio Globe Budapest, brought to you from the Buda Hills on your favorite web station, www.primefmradio.dj. Today in our studio, we have a special guest from Kenya, Scholastica Rose Kelunde, and as her family calls her, Skola. So tell us, you're from Kenya. What brings you to Budapest?
I'm here with my boyfriend, Miklos Pamlenyi. I've been here since January, but the first time I came here, it was last year. It was about 6 weeks. That was July last year up to August, and then I went back.
Uh-huh. And do you keep in touch with your family? Tell us about your family in Kenya. What type of town do you come from, a city, a village?
I come from a village whereby there is no power, there is no electricity. So I usually get in touch with my family, my mom and my sisters. Though we usually talk through phone, we don't have Skype. So for the last 9 months I've been here, I've never seen them, maybe in pictures, only we just talk.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they use mobile phones?
Yes.
And solar batteries, how do they charge their phones?
Okay, we have got, maybe in the village we have got small shops, small, very small cities, and then they have small, they have got electricity, so that's where we normally go and charge their phones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you learn how to cook in a special way when you don't have electricity? We have a little shack up in the Pilish Mountains, and we don't have electricity there, so we have a brick oven that we can put wood in and cook on. We have a fireplace outside where I make my tea in the morning. How do you cook in the village like that?
We usually use charcoal and firewood, but in oven cooking, we don't, because it's usually done by electricity, and then there is no electricity. So you have to learn it when you go in the city. You have to learn new statistics of cooking in the oven, of which is a little bit new challenge. Cooking when you are a big person, it's not really easy. Unlike in Europe or elsewhere in the country, whereby the children start learning when they are still young, because they have got these things at home. In Africa, it's a little bit complicated.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what are the different things that you see in that children might have in your village, or the children that you see that in your months in Hungary? What's the big difference?
There is a very big difference, because in our villages, we don't have computer, television, because these things, they use power. Unlike the village children from Africa, here you find that a child of 4 or 5 years, he knows how to use the phone, how to use the computer. He knows his favorite movies in the TV. So this is something different in Africa.
Uh-huh. What are the things that an African child growing up without these? I mean, I grew up with a 13-inch television that had 3 channels, and my kids grew up with satellite television. Now everybody has a satellite in their hands with the mobile phone. So what do kids learn who aren't always attached to an electric machine?
Yeah, really. But okay, I'll talk unto my own experience. Whatever I learned, it was okay, maybe something like torches, small torch, the one which uses the battery.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that the parent has to go and buy, maybe when you're using at night, when you need power, that's when you start learning, oh, this thing is connected this way and it uses battery.
Uh-huh.
Because by the time I was growing, there was no mobile phone. So it wasn't easy for me. And the television, I just learned about the television when I was around 10 years old, just watching the cartoon, something like this. But the television at home, not really. And then this belongs to the parents, because maybe we are scared, you can break it, you find it something delicate, such a glass.
How many languages, and what is the main language? Everyone I've met from Kenya speaks English, it seems.
We speak English and Swahili.
Uh-huh.
We are taught in school, so you find that even a three-year-old child can speak English, because this is the main language to communicate. But we have got so many languages in Kenya.
And so Swahili is the designated national language of banks, of government, of business, and with English is the international language. So how does it work? Like in Canada, you have French and English, and everything is in dual languages, and people can usually speak, you know, two languages. How does Swahili and English work together to function as two languages in your country?
English was there, it was brought up by the foreigners who colonized Kenya, so we found it our national language. Mm-hmm. And Swahili too, because Swahili, it's a collection of so many languages, the 42 tribes languages. So I think Swahili has been there since from the beginning, and of English course. Has been there.
It's a colonial language.
Yes, yes.
And instead of rejecting the colonial language,
they mixed it up, yes, and we use it. Because some of the words in Swahili, you can find them in the tribe of Kamba or Kikuyu or Luo. So Swahili has got so many meanings inside. So you find that maybe one word, you'll find it in from another tribe of Kenyan tribe, which means the same thing in Swahili, or same thing in Giriama, which is the tribe of Kenya, mm-hmm. the language of Kenya.
Maybe in this region we have what they call the Slavic languages that are similar, but Hungarian is not one of that family of languages. Your accent when you speak the names of the tribes in your country is so pure and so nice. I'd like to ask you, I'm a storyteller. I love stories, and growing up, my father was a really great storyteller. He could take in the afternoon 6, 7, 10 wild little boys and sit us down and tell us a story, and we weren't going anywhere. We weren't thinking about running around and playing ball outside. And we have classical stories. I grew up in America. Mm-hmm. My wife grew up on the other side of Hungary in a small village like you mm-hmm. describe. And we have similar tales from childhood. Little Red Riding Hood, the little girl who with the wolf and grandma, mm-hmm. The one with the little pig, so the rabbit races the turtle. Is there a classic children's tale that you would share with us right now?
Yes, there is this story of the animal kingdom, whereby there were all kind of animals, and the lion was the king of all the animals, but the rabbit was the cleverest animal of all the animals. So they came a time when there was no rain, and they had to dig a well to provide water. So the rabbit said, okay, I will not dig, I will not be a part of you, but I will drink this kind of water anytime I wish and anytime I want. So after they dug the well, the king of the animals, the lion, said, okay, because the rabbit didn't dig the well, we have to put the guard in the well day and night so that the rabbit will not be able to come inside whenever maybe we are not around. So the first time the guard was the tortoise.
Was
the tortoise.
The tortoise.
Yes. So the first time he was the guard in the well, and then rabbit just thought, how will I go? I'm thirsty. How will I go to the well to drink the water? So the rabbit just put herself or himself a lot of mud everywhere, and then he just rolled just like a stone roll, and went inside the well and it drank the water. After, you know, the tortoise just thought, oh, that is just something, maybe it has been brought by the wind, so I don't care. So after it drank the water, it came out and took out the cover and said, you see, I'm very clever, I've drank the water. So now where do you take me? So this story is really common in Africa, in Kenya. We were taught in school and it's written in the books, the native books, when you are in class, from class year 1 to year 3, we learn these kind of stories. It's very interesting, yeah.
It's said that many African tales have been passed down through oral tradition. We had a Nepalese guest also, and I was reading about their history also, and it's only at a certain time in history that we start writing these tales down. Do they have the storybooks with pictures that kids learn how to read and write?
Yes.
With that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, what is your interpretation of this story? You dig the well, then you can't drink the water. So they say you can't drink the water, and okay, I will drink the water. And so what is it teaching kids when they hear a story like this?
This story tells us that in every kind of the family, not all children, maybe they go the same line. Maybe you might find out that you are born three children in the family, but two of them will go straight away and the other kid will be just in his or her own way. And this is kind of the life. There is no way you can't avoid it. So you have to accept it, because we believe that in a family there is maybe pastor, the preacher, there is witch, and this is the family. The family is not brought up by all peaceful members.
But also, you have opportunity, and anyone in the family could be anything if they had that opportunity.
Yes, this is the story of the rabbit. The rabbit was just defiling every kind of rule that the other animals made.
So you have changed your venue, your lifestyle. You see where you come from, and now you live in a modern town of Budapest. What now are your dreams? What do you want to do in the next days, in the next weeks, in the next years, in your life? Now that things, your eyes see new things, new places, new possibilities.
Okay, I would like to make so many friends as I can. I would like to, especially in Europe, I would like to tell the people that, European people, they normally think Africa is a different kind of place whereby there is no peace, there is no love. It's like we live like animals. But yeah, in Africa we have got lovely people.
How do you represent, how do you teach people about Africa? Give us a visual. It's radio, so paint a picture with words for people listening.
Nairobi is the capital city of Kenya, whereby we have got so many people living there.
There's 42 million in your country.
Yes, in Kenya. So we have got around 5 million living in Nairobi. So it's a very big city. We have got the second biggest slum in the world called Kibera after South Africa. And yes, the people, they are very friendly there. Not everybody, just like any other country. But three quarters, they are very friendly. It's a very busy city. And
when you know somebody, like if I come to Kenya to visit, how is the tradition of how you treat the visitor?
We are very welcoming. I will take you like, okay, I don't know you, you're my visitor, but I will take you like, I would like to establish long-term relationship with you. So I will welcome to my place. If I've got big house, I'll show you, this is my living room, this is my bedroom, and this is how we normally make the food. So at the first time you are my guest, I will just give you everything, I'll show you everything. But as the time goes, maybe the weeks, the days, you are one of my family, we can do everything together. I show you the surrounding, the environment, the people, the culture of dressing, because our culture of dressing is a little bit different than the culture of European people, white people.
Do you ever get a chance in the last months you've lived in Budapest to wear your traditional cultural gowns, your dresses?
Not really.
You dress as a European sort of jeans, a nice leather jacket,
a nice
scarf.
Yes.
Or how much of European style and necessity affected you growing up in your village in Kenya?
It affected me so much because most of the time I spend with the people of different cultures. So I find that dressing my African culture, sometimes I find it difficult, and maybe people will not understand me. Like before, I used to dress a long skirt and mini short. And then I remember the first time, the big challenge was my boyfriend Miklos, and then he was, "What? Why can't you walk without a long? Why are you wearing this? You're not going to the church?" Yes. So it was not easy first to adapt to the European culture of dressing. But with the time, I got used, and then when I go to the villages, mom always has a very hard time to challenge me. "Can't you see this is not right?" Then I have to tell her, "You know, mom, I've traveled, I've just moved out, I've just connected with so many people. So me, I don't find anything when I'm dressing, maybe in a short, but I have to tie a big, we call them kangas, they cover up to the down. So maybe where I wear the short or the skirt, I have to cover my legs here. Because in Africa, in my village, they believe when you show up half of your body, this is not respectful to the elders or to the parents.
So we have to respect other people's views and mores. Yep.
Yeah, that's how we believe.
Some people have to shut clothes, cover their arms, their legs.
Not really when it comes to the upside of the body. But yes, it is, because you cannot walk by the tummy is outside, or the lower part of the stomach is out. So you have to cover yourself. You cannot go when the chest is a little bit exposed. You have to wear something which is covering you up to the chest and the legs. So yeah, it isn't easy.
Would there be a different tradition in the village, in a small village, as opposed to being in the big city in Nairobi?
Yes. You find that like wearing of the trousers is not commonly accepted in our villages. So if you live in the city, you just use your normal clothes, the one you like. But when you are traveling to see the parents and the family, you have got maybe a few types of clothes you have to change when you are at home, because you don't want to cause any kind of mixed reaction.
That reflects on your family.
Yeah.
So tell us about your family. How many brothers or sisters do you have? I have one brother.
I've got three sisters, and I have a young brother, and I have a son.
Wait a minute. Your brother has four sisters?
Yes.
Psh, what a lucky man. Is he the youngest?
Yes, he's the youngest. Oh. Yes, he's the youngest.
That's an all lucky fellow who has older sisters, and he's got four.
But it's
and
not
you have a son?
Yes, I have a son.
And where was he born?
My son was born, my parents were living in town, in Mombasa.
In Mombasa?
Yes, yeah. That's where my son was born. And then my parents had to move from the city to the village. So my son now is living with my parents.
In the village?
Yes.
And what language is, how old is he?
Now he's 11. He turned 11 years this September.
Oh. And what language is he learning?
He's learning English, Swahili, and in school he doesn't learn the mother language, the mother tongue language, because it's confusing. And in private schools, they don't teach the mother tongue language, only in public schools.
The mother tongue being one of those 42 specific
languages,
dialects.
Yes.
How many dialects do you speak?
I speak Kamba, which is my mom's language. My mom is a Kamba, my father is a Luya. So these are two different languages, and nobody understands each other. So I speak both languages, Luya and Kamba, and sometimes Kikuyu.
So when you were growing up, your mother would speak to you with Kamba and your father with Kikuyu?
My father is a Luya.
I tried. I'm not going to try again.
No problem.
How was your...
So most of the time we used to go and visit the grandma, the mom's side. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn Kamba language, and at the same time I had to learn Luya language because of my father and the family.
So that's deep rooted respect.
Yes.
Gotta speak to grandma.
Because I can't speak to grandma in English, and Swahili sometimes is, I don't want to speak this language. My language is, my grandma, those kind of old people that they found it. They like their own language, and they didn't go
How
to school.
How old is your grandma?
My grandma
don't
is...
Don't tell her I asked you.
89 years old, yes. She's old.
And what does she do? What is her day like in the village? What does she do?
She like farming.
Does she milk cows?
She has cows. She has ketchkes.
And she actually milks the cows at 89 years old.
Yes.
A few months ago, we went on a weekend in a hotel, but the hotel wasn't a hotel, it was a farm. And right outside our door was where they milked the cows.
Yes.
And they gave birth, actually, one cow the day before we got there, and a cow was birthed the day after we left. So we saw a one-day-old cow. They will stand right up. They're ready, they're ready to go.
Yeah.
And what have you put your hands on in a village in a farm? Have you milked cows? Have you helped seen the birth of animals?
Yes, I've milked. I don't know how to milk the cow because the boobies, the teats of the cows, they are a little bit hard. Uh-huh. But I know how to milk the goat.
The goats.
Yes,
I like goat's milk cheese myself. So your son grows up on a farm, knowing how to do all this.
Yes.
So what do you plan for his future, education, does the African mother, is they like the Italian mother and the Jewish mother and the Hungarian mother, they want their kids to have a great career? What do you want for your kid?
I would like him to be an engineer because he likes constructing things. He like, maybe there is a broken piece of torch or radio, he can construct and he take all the batteries and he connect them, and he like it, this kind of work. So I would like to encourage him to be an engineer if he grows up.
You see him building things that stay for many, many years.
Yes, yes.
Great. And maybe he'll come in and study in the famous technical university in Budapest. If you could say hello to your mother now, what would you tell her?
I'll tell
her.
Hi, Mom. Can I talk to him in my language?
Of course. But then you can translate for us if you whatever you like to tell us. You
okay? Now you, Mom, utuyata ninyo school and your studio. Okay, I've just told him. Hi, Mom. How have you been? I miss you.
Thank you so very much. Do we agree for the future that you're going to come back and tell us another story?
Sure.